Hi, everyone, and welcome to yet another edition of Bavarian Podcast Works. We are on our flagship episode today. We are on season 5, episode 8, and you are with I Need No Name and Samrin here. So we're recording right after the Bayern game in. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling amazing, actually, because I mean, come on. Like, I did cry for around 15 minutes because Thomas Muller did not score or assist. But, after a 7-0 win, how bad can you feel? And I'm sure Thomas Muller, if he were here next to me right now, he'd say, oh, come on, man, relax. It's a 7-0 win.
To be fair, I considered the one where he almost collided with the keeper and the ball ended up for, I think it was the third goal. I considered that an honorary assist because if Muller and the keeper don't collide, that ball does not fall to, I think, Coman for that goal.
Yeah, but
So,
honorary assists don't count towards the Mueller propaganda, so.
and you're a stats guy, right? So, in we scored 7 goals today, and so far it's been what, 7, 6, 13, 13, and 2, 15.
Yeah.
15 without a certain Robert Lewandowski,
Yeah, someone whose birthday it is today.
Oh, well, I guess we should still wish him happy birthday, right? He just left a few days ago. But I don't know. Do we look better without Lewandowski?
Yeah, it's a really funny way to introduce the topic since we actually do discuss this stuff beforehand. But, I have to say that people are bringing this up a lot now in the game threads. And I'm starting to think that, yes, we do actually look a lot better without Robert Lewandowski. Now, I mean, I have to admit that we have not faced the best opposition as of yet. But even so, you defeat the Europa League champions 6-1. You defeat Bochum, who beat us last season 7-0. We played Wolfsburg off the park. Like, Niko Kovac basically put his hands up and said, I'm taking this 2-0. This team will steamroll us otherwise. And honestly, looking at all the other score lines we've had, you can see why Kovac decided that, because 2-0 Wolfsburg look amazing in comparison to all the other opponents we've had. So based on that and how incredibly fluid the attack looks, I genuinely cannot remember a time when Bayern Munich looked this aesthetically pleasing. And I'm talking about all the way back to 2012-13 under Heynckes. Like, Heynckes and Flick's Bayern, they were ruthless, they were dominating, they were incredible in every way, but they did not look as aesthetically pleasing as Nagelsmann's Bayern Munich does at this point. And that is something that I genuinely think is really special and something that would not have been possible when Robert Lewandowski was still at this club and he was still trying to play with him.
Right. Why do you think it is that Nagelsmann in his first season struggled a bit with Lewandowski up top and now Bayern look more fluid without him? Is it because Nagelsmann's I do you ever remember a Nagelsmann team playing with an out and out number 9? I think Kramaric was at Hoffenheim when he was coach. I can't remember, but I remember a Nagelsmann team in recent memory playing with an out and out number 9, aside from
I
Lewandowski.
mean, like, they, I guess Kramaric would count. He did get a lot of goals at Hoffenheim with Nagelsmann, but none of them would be considered the kind of the focal, absolute focal point of their team like Robert Lewandowski was at Bayern Munich. Like, even RB Leipzig under him had Yusuf Poulsen as a number nine, but the goals in that team were spread out everywhere, and Yusuf Poulsen wasn't a goal machine like Robert Lewandowski. So I genuinely think that Robert Lewandowski, by the sheer gravity of his presence, was messing up Nagelsmann's tactics a little, because today, right now, you can see. I remember, like, I shared this video back, like last year, where they had a there was a TV program in Germany. I don't remember which channel, but they had Ralf Rangnick and Nagelsmann on, and Rangnick was there explaining Nagelsmann's tactics with Nagelsmann there to comment on it, and it was absolutely fascinating to listen to. And I shared it on our Slack and on the blog to let people listen to it. And I still have the link, but the video has been taken down by now, so you can't listen to it anymore. But the thing that was emphasized by Nagelsmann and by Rangnick is that what they try to do with their tactics is get as many people into the box as possible so that you maximize your chances of scoring. Now, we complained last season that there were too many inside the box because that took space away from Robert Lewandowski and it made the box way too congested. Now it feels like there's all the space in the world for the box because I don't know how this has happened, but, like, despite the fact that we seem to have as many players in the box last season, we are showing a kind of fluidity and lethality from all our players that they simply could not show when they were trying to find Robert Lewandowski in the middle. And I don't know if this is like a mentality shift, a tactical shift. I don't know what it is, but it's working. And it's working so well that genuinely Bayern Munich looked like something different this season. Like we look like we have a spark that I have not seen in a long time. Like genuinely it feels different.
Right. I think one thing that really caught my eye today was we had even more players in the box than we did last season. We had Pavard in the box, which was somewhat of a rarity last season, and then we had Kimmich in the box a lot more than we used to. So I really do put it down to Lewandowski's absence because just thinking back to our preseason, we had a really short preseason. There is no way Nagelsmann builds an entirely new set of tactics and fluidity in like three preseason games. And aside from like DC United, we didn't look pretty great against Man City. We looked very good against Leipzig. That was sort of preseason in season, but that was the first notice, I guess, that we could do well. And today, before the game, even some of us were worried that without Musiala, with all the changes, that the attack was not going to look as fluid. But I think from what I saw, and yes, it's a 7-0 scoreline, the struggles happened more in the defense than it did in the attack. For whatever reason, Bochum could not capitalize, but at times between Upamecano and De Ligt, it looked like there was enough space for, I don't know, a whole team to walk into. But other than that, the attack looked really fluid. My worry was about Sané, who, while he looked good in his cameos in the last few games, he struggled to sort of be as fluid as the rest of the team. There were misplaced passes and missed times. And we saw some of that today, too. But even he looked more like a part of the attack than he did for like the last 7 months, I want to say, when he had that drop off around December last year. So I don't know how it's happened, but it does seem to me that the absence of Lewandowski has almost either forced the players to take on more responsibility or freed them up to have that responsibility. It's one or the other, but so far it's working. And I would say the quality of the opposition is not that low. Like you said, Eintracht Frankfurt were the Europa League winners. And yeah, they are slow starters, but they're not, even Real Madrid could not do to them what we did. And they had quite a few chances against Real Madrid too. Also, Leipzig are the cup champions from last season. So even in that scenario, we did really, really well. And I think like because Nagelsmann made so many changes in the second half, that scoreline looks closer than it would have had it been a regular Bundesliga game.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just counterintuitive, right? Because when you have someone like Robert Lewandowski scoring like 40 goals in just the Bundesliga, when you have someone like that, shouldn't your attack look much worse when you get rid of that? Like it doesn't make any sense. And part of the offset I can say is because Sadio Mane, we've added him to the attack, and I'm just so impressed by his game
Me
intelligence.
too.
Like genuinely, like I know the Liverpool people, they talked about how good his pressing, his work rate, this and that, but they did not mention how incredibly intelligent he is in his movement and off the ball. And it's almost like we have like second Muller on the pitch with Sadio Mane. He takes so much of the burden off guys like Kingsley Coman, Serge Gnabry, Leroy Sané in terms of just decision making, that it adds fluidity to our attack that was simply like not possible when Robert Lewandowski was here. Robert Lewandowski demanded that you service him, whereas Sadio Mane is allowing the team to service itself, really. Like it is somewhat counterintuitive. And I would say that Nagelsmann himself has built a very weird setup because I don't think someone like Hansi Flick would have built a setup like this, or could have, in fact.
No.
Like people will probably see the type of formation that Bayern Munich is running right now and say maybe Hansi Flick should try a 4-2-2 formation in the World Cup. But I don't think that's gonna work out for Germany under Hansi Flick, because Hansi's tactics are a very different beast to what Nagelsmann is running right now. The 4-2-2, which looked more like a 4-2-4 today, it was much more attacking than we've seen in previous games, which, to be fair, Bochum really did not provide much resistance. But as we saw, this team is capable of incredibly ridiculous fluidity in the final third that I have genuinely, I could not even imagine back when Nagelsmann took over and back when even Flick was here. And it is almost baffling that they were maybe always capable of something like this, and simply the addition of a target man who is probably the best striker in the world and one of the best players in the world was somehow holding them back from achieving this as a collective unit. It maybe if Sadio Mane were here last season, maybe we could have seen something like this with Lewandowski in the lineup, and maybe it's possible that we could have scored even more goals with Mane, Lewandowski, Muller, and current season's Musiala in the front four of last season compared to what we had. But that's a hypothetical that will never be answered. Instead, based on what I've seen in front of me this season, and based on how Lewandowski struggled on his debut for Barcelona, as far as I know, apparently Rayo Vallecano, they
I
perhaps
watched
like,
that game.
yeah, you watched that game. Okay, so
I watched that
apparently,
entire game.
but
It was
why
surprisingly,
would you watch that?
I was still salty about Lewandowski, and I was like, I want to see what happens
Okay,
here
my
today.
dad also watched that game, apparently. I said, nah, dad, I'm not watching that. I'm just gonna go to bed. Like, why would you watch a La Liga game at 12? It happens well past 12 midnight here in
Well, for
India,
me,
so I
it's
would
3
never.
p.m. So,
Oh,
3 p.m. on a
how
Saturday
nice. Good for a
afternoon.
good for an afternoon nap, I guess. But like, look, like Lewandowski did not score. I mean, even Benjamin Pavard has more goals than Robert Lewandowski this season. Matthias De Ligt has more goals than Robert Lewandowski this season. Everyone is scoring this season. At this point, I won't be surprised if Manuel Neuer has more goals than Robert Lewandowski this season. But like, based on that, it's not going to be very long before people start saying that Robert Lewandowski was carried by Bayern Munich. And people have been saying that before. They did. I remember people saying that Robert Lewandowski only gets all the goals he does in the Bundesliga because, first of all, the league is weak, which I absolutely refute because Lewandowski was multiple times Champions League top scorer as well and almost broke Ronaldo's record. So you can't say that the league is weak. And the other thing I have to say that is because he had so many players leading him exclusively, especially Thomas Muller, who
Thomas
often
Müller.
would sacrifice his own goals and goal scoring chances just so he could find the pass to Robert Lewandowski. And that is not happening anymore. I saw Muller being a little bit more selfish today. Didn't really result in any goals, tragically, but by him being more selfish, that just adds a level of threat to Bayern that we have not seen since 15-16, back when Müller last scored more than 20 goals in the league. And because of all of that, because of all these factors combined, it could genuinely be said that Bayern Munich are a more dangerous team without Robert Lewandowski in the side, at least under a coach like Julian Nagelsmann. This would not, in my opinion, be possible under Hansi Flick or Jupp Heynckes, both of whom are former treble-winning managers with us.
100%. On Thomas Muller, it was so shocking to me when I think it was late in the second half. He goes outside the box. He's outside the box. He changes the ball from one foot to the other, and then he takes a shot. And I'm like, did Thomas Muller just try to shoot from outside the box? What just happened? Yeah, he occasionally does it, but it's early in the season. He decides not to pass. He actually has three runners around him, and that took me by somewhat surprise because normally that's across to Lewandowski. So. Yeah, you're completely right. On the Flick point, yeah, Flick can't play like Nagelsmann, just like Nagelsmann couldn't play like Flick. And that was the problem. I don't necessarily think Bayern carried Robert Lewandowski, but I think Bayern did carry Robert Lewandowski just for last season because I don't think Nagelsmann wanted to play that way. And I don't remember if this was ever confirmed, but there were some grumbles in the dressing room about how Nagelsmann was setting up, and one of them allegedly was Robert Lewandowski. So,
Yeah, it was
yeah.
rumored that Robert Lewandowski was unhappy about how many players were in the box, his lack of chances, and like a lot of those other things. Nagelsmann constantly downplayed them in the media, which usually means that there was actually a problem behind the scenes, because if there's no problems, why would you need to talk about it?
And that may also actually, now that I think about it, at the time we didn't think it was a great move by the Bayern board. And yes, I don't know how much truth there is about them trying to get Haaland, but it seems that even the board didn't press as hard to keep Robert Lewandowski because we know from the past that when Bayern wants to keep a player, they keep a player. They kept Franck Ribery despite all the protestations back in 2009, 2010, around that. There was interest in Lahm from Barcelona. I don't think Lahm would have ever really left, but there was interest. And when there was rampant interest from Real Madrid, and I don't know if it was just Real Madrid or Real Madrid and Barcelona, on Robert Lewandowski, Bayern just shut that door and said, no, you're not going anywhere. But this time, Bayern said, you know what? Okay, there's a little leeway. And they sold him. And maybe they knew something that we didn't. And maybe Nagelsmann sold them on a vision that we didn't know about, but we're just coming to see. But either way, I love what I'm seeing. I absolutely love what I'm seeing. I think there's still some more defensive issues to be sorted out. Yeah, there were a lot of changes at the back today, which might have caused them, but there's some gaping holes in that defense. Like I can never rest assured that Bayern will keep a clean sheet. I don't think most teams can, but I'm not sold on the solidity of that back line. They can all play, that's for sure. They can pretty much all score. That's what we've been seeing. But and they all add to the attack well. I'm just not sold on how well they can hold up against a very fluid front three, four. Not many teams have it, but some teams do. So that will be a test for me to see, because even Bochum at the beginning today, they could have pounced on a few chances that they didn't.
To be fair, I think Bochum, many of the chances they got were down to really bad distribution from Manuel Neuer. Like he was all over the pitch. Like he was doing everything. He was poor distribution, amazing saves, sweeper keeping. He even ate a banana at some
I
point
know,
in
I
the
noticed
second half, which was just like this Bochum game was just vibes, honestly. Like I don't even know.
that.
And I genuinely feel like our defense right now, it can do anything except defend sometimes, because
Yeah,
like
exactly
all
that.
of them, I feel like they have assists, goals, everything in them in their arsenal, except for the very crucial not switching off for a full 90 minutes. Like even today, there was that moment where like Upamecano, who has been having a great season, he just completely switched off, and I don't know which Bochum player it was, but got behind our defense and just skied it straight into the stands. So like if that falls to someone like Robert Lewandowski, for example, he probably scores. So that is
Not based
something
on
that,
that vibe kind of game, but
yeah, they did not have that much XG. I shouldn't point out that like it was just 0.9 XG, and we did manage to keep a clean sheet. In my opinion, that is
That's
important,
when.
because as far as I'm concerned, like clean sheets are a bit like if you keep getting them, it becomes a habit. Like if you don't get them, it also becomes a habit of constantly conceding. And if you keep getting them, it slowly develops into a habit of not conceding. Like this exact type of game under Flick, we would have probably scored six, seven goals as well, but we would have conceded one or two as well. So keeping a clean sheet while also winning by seven goals, that is, I think, a very important achievement. And it bodes well for the future, which is something that we will have to talk about next.
Just to see the strength of the team.
Okay, so based on what we've discussed so far, I think the best topic to segue into right now would be our potential opponents in the Champions League group stage. So, Samran, I think I sent you the link where we have all our potential opponents for the Champions League group in part two and part three. Part four is not confirmed yet as of this recording, but I don't think people expect us to say much about the part four teams anyway. So they are here for the big blockbuster names. So, Samrin, tell me, since we cannot face Arsenal this season, what a
Mean.
tragedy. What a tragedy, right? Yeah, so since we cannot face Arsenal this season, and this is why I did not invite Tom onto this podcast, since we cannot face us Arsenal this season, who do you want us to face in the Champions League group stages to begin with?
There's so many interesting names in pot two, but the strongest one for me in that pot, despite recent results, is Liverpool. Liverpool would be an incredible draw. And I think, yes, there's that Sadio Mane storyline, but we're not here about the vibes. We're here just to see the real strength of Bayern. And I think last season's Liverpool would have destroyed Bayern if Bayern had actually made it past Villarreal into the semifinal.
Yeah,
Just
it
the
would
way
have
that
been
they
very
destroyed.
ugly. It would have fueled every single anti-Bundesliga narrative you can think of. But this season we look good. And if there is any coach out there who can spot the flaws in this system, it's going to be Jurgen Klopp. I mean, it could be Pep Guardiola as well, but I can expect Pep Guardiola to overthink things, especially against a coach like Nagelsmann. And of course, we can't face Manchester City since they are the champions of England, and therefore in part one. Liverpool, yes, I want Liverpool in the group stages. Like, people will say this is a little bit arrogant, and yeah, I have been guilty of arrogance before, but honestly, I don't think it matters if we lose to Liverpool in the group stages. Like,
Exactly.
it's the group
Yeah.
stages. First of all, that means that we cannot face Liverpool in the round of 16, and you do not want to face a team like Liverpool in the round of 16, never ever.
Yeah.
And the second thing is that, as you said, we need the team to be tested as soon as possible. We are not gonna get that kind of test in the Bundesliga, I'm sorry to say. Like, you look at all the top teams in the Bundesliga right now, they are
Yeah.
doing really poorly to start off with. Frankfurt started slow as usual. Bayer Leverkusen, my goodness, like,
I think they're at bottom of the
I don't
table
know.
right
Yeah,
now.
they
Oh
are.
no, Bochum are
I think,
bottom. Leverkusen are seventeenth.
thanks to us, yeah. Dortmund, they have looked absolutely pathetic in their first three games, and the Bremen game was just a matter of all the luck catching up to them. And who else? RB Leipzig, again, they have not won a single game yet, and Union just carved them apart. And have I missed anyone?
Let's see, Dortmund, Leverkusen, Eintracht Frankfurt,
Gladbach
Leipzig. No.
look good, but like, we face Gladbach next week and we probably lose to them. So
I don't know why we could play incredibly well. We could be like outscoring opponents 100-0 and we'd still lose to
yeah, we'll
Gladbach.
lose to Gladbach. So even in the
Don't
travel seasons,
understand
I think we lost
this.
to Gladbach. So we will lose to Gladbach. So it doesn't matter. So in that case, Liverpool, that just leaves Liverpool. And if not Liverpool, I want a Premier League team. There are two other potential Premier League teams in pot two, Chelsea and Tottenham. I think Chelsea are stronger than Tottenham overall. But based on how Tottenham have started, they look like the better team in the Premier League based on just results and how they have performed. That would be my preference. You watch more Premier League games than me. I'm pretty sure you'd say Arsenal look better than all of them, but
I
as we
mean,
all know,
Arsenal
Arsenal.
are top of the league. Hello,
It's
but
like an
okay.
elephant on top of a tree. You don't know how it got there, but
It's
you know it's gonna come down. So,
going to come down sooner or later.
but it does mean that we might see Arsenal in the group stage next season, which would be fun
Oh Lord.
for some
For
of us.
you.
Yeah, but like, the thing is that I want a Premier League team in Bayern's group so that we can show, like, either we find out that Bayern Munich are not as good as we think they are, or we find out that they are as good as we think they are. In which case, like, as soon as you destroy a Premier League team, no matter how terrible that Premier League team is, suddenly you are a contender in the Champions League. Like, every single pundit comes up and takes notice. That is why Flick's treble-winning side was
We had
so
Tottenham in the
lauded.
group,
Yeah, we
right?
had Tottenham in the group stages and then Chelsea in the round of 16. As soon as we tore them apart, everyone just sat up. Like, we were destroying the Bundesliga that season, and no one even looked at us. And then we just take about these mediocre Premier League teams, and suddenly everyone is like, oh my God, Bayern Munich, these guys are so good. What, Manchester City aren't going to touch them. They did keep talking about Manchester City all the way up to the point where they lost to Lyon.
Leon.
Like, I swear that season, everyone, including me, thought that it was gonna be Manchester City versus Bayern Munich in the semifinals. But Lyon did the Pep that, you know. But yeah, so that's why I want a Premier League team. And if not a Premier League team, who would you have instead? I think
I was gonna
either
argue, I don't even want a Premier League team if it's not Liverpool, actually.
it's not Liverpool. Okay,
If
who
it's not
else?
Liverpool, I want a team that sits back, just sits back with 10 men against the ball. And I want to see what Bayern does
Okay,
there.
so
Atletico
Atletico.
or Sevilla? Give me one of the two.
Yeah, you didn't mention Juventus. This is gonna upset. This is gonna upset the Juventus fans that I talk to on.
Want to think of them as, 10 men behind the ball. I didn't
I
want to do
mean,
that to them.
they don't even. That's how Juventus play. Like, it's Allegri in charge of them, so that's how they
I
play football.
know. Actually, Juventus would also be interesting, but I
Yeah,
guess I
because of the
watch more
Matias
La
De Ligt.
Liga. And Atletico, when
I'm
in Flick's second season in the group stages, when Bayern destroyed Atletico, that's how we knew that Bayern were good enough to win it all. And while we didn't, we fell to PSG. That was a very close tie. And in
yeah,
all honesty, with
like,
the full team, we should have won that.
with the current rules, we would have gone to extra time, and we could have easily won it extra time because the second leg was at our home stadium. So no, so, sorry, it was actually away.
It was actually in Paris.
Yeah, it was in Paris because we lost our home leg because it was snowing. Oh man, snow. Anyway, so I wouldn't actually mind Juventus because I think that Juventus, when you face a team like them, I think they're really not that good, and facing them would just be nice propaganda for us. It would be like, if you tear Juventus apart, people take notice. If you don't, people don't really care. And it doesn't really mean anything to rip them apart, but it is a feel-good story. Would you want Barcelona in the group stage? You know, for all
based
the
on,
narratives.
I mean, the narratives are too much fun to avoid because I still think we beat Barcelona no matter how good a team they assemble. But right now, I would want to forget the banter and worry more about testing the real strength of the team. So if Barcelona shows me more than they did against Vallecano, okay, if suddenly they start becoming world beaters in La Liga, which honestly they have a very good squad, which somehow they managed to assemble. I don't know how this happened. But unless I see better performances, unless I see them blowing teams away 3-4 nil, I don't want Barcelona. I would just avoid them if they're not playing particularly well. Because last season, Barcelona was not quite the litmus test we needed. We needed somebody stronger in the group stages, and that did prove to be an undoing later.
Yeah, it did because like Barcelona and Benfica, they did kind of put up a fight, but not really. And genuinely, I think Nagelsmann's team walked through them without ever really breaking a sweat. And that really cost us. Like, we genuinely had a far too easy a time in the Champions League last season. I've never seen Bayern Munich have that easy a group stage, then a round of 16 against RB Salzburg. All due credit to them. They are not a top team. And then Villarreal in this quarterfinals, who we should have beaten. I mean, like, everyone has admitted it by this point. Like, back then, people were giving all the credit to Villarreal. They were so good, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But recently, Oliver Kahn, Julian Nagelsmann, Manuel Neuer,
Everybody
Thomas
said
Müller,
it.
Leroy Sané, everyone has come out and said, yeah, Villarreal was a massive disappointment. And it can be seen by the extent of the investment that we put into the squad. We do not want another one of those to happen. Like, I think we've more or less covered every single pot two team so far. Like, the others are Sevilla, and I think Sevilla are in the same boat as Atletico Madrid, just a little bit less. Like, they will probably come at us with a very pragmatic setup, like any La Liga team would. And the other team is RB Leipzig, whom we can't face because they're in the same group as us. So, do you see any teams in pot three who are interesting?
Well, there's Salzburg, always an interesting draw. There's Inter Milan, another interesting draw. Napoli can go either way. So we can't face Leverkusen and Dortmund. So if I had to pick, I'm really caught in between Salzburg and Inter Milan because Salzburg press. But I watched Inter Milan. Yes, sometimes I watch Serie A when I'm bored. I watched Inter Milan yesterday. They look pretty interesting, and I would probably want to take Inter Milan just to see how we do with like how we deal with the proper front man like Lukaku or even Lautaro Martinez, who I quite like. So that would be interesting for me. Marseille, I would be a little scared of because they can kick the shit out of it. They can. So
Yeah, but
and
don't
Marseille.
Marseille have like one of the worst ever Champions League losing streaks, which
They do.
technically I think it's still going on, isn't it?
Yeah, it's still going on. But let's say we beat Marseille, but they also kick the shit out of our players and we end up injured 3 or 4. Yeah, we also run that risk with Atletico, but Marseille, there's the
I mean,
fan
you just know
violence.
that they're gonna give us an English referee, and then
And the
this is
play's
another
just gonna
reason
go
I
on.
want English teams in the Champions League because I do not want the
We can avoid
referees.
English referees.
My goodness. Yeah. So,
So
yeah.
Inter Milan for me. What about
Yeah.
you?
Inter is my first choice because, again, I like the Champions League because of the glamour ties. And out of all the teams in pot three, I would say Inter Milan is the most glamorous of them all. After that, it would be like Salzburg are a very fun team to play against, but haven't we played Salzburg enough in recent seasons? We played them
No, I
under
think,
Flick, we played them last season. It's getting a bit old. And we know
boring.
exactly how we play, and we know exactly how to play against them. No matter how many times Salzburg teams change coaches, they seem to play the same way. Yeah,
So,
so
Inter for me. Napoli
Inter
wouldn't be
for
a
me,
bad
and
draw
then
either.
yeah, Inter and then Napoli for me. And then maybe Marseille. And from pot four, we don't have anything confirmed for
Just
pot
have
four.
two options.
I
Brugge or
would
Celtic.
say, like, give us an easy team for pot four because it's a little bit much if you end up in a group of death with like Inter, Napoli, and then one more team. Like, I don't know who else could be in there.
Celtic would be a tough-ish draw
Celtic,
from pot four.
top, it would be quite tough. Celtic or a team like, I don't know, PSV or something like that. Those teams, you want to avoid like those kinds of teams instead of in comparison to like, I don't know, a team that no one's ever heard of or a team that really
I
just
think we had
won the
a Red
conference
Star
league.
Belgrade, right?
Yeah, in Flick's year, the year we won the treble, yeah, it was Red Star. Yeah, that's the team against whom Lewandowski, I think, scored 4 goals in like 15 minutes or something like that, or something. That was a lot of fun as well. So
So somebody like that, I mean, listen, no disrespect to Red Star. They were a great team in the 90s, but somebody a little bit easier. Like if
yeah.
it, yeah, I'm with you
Ideally,
there.
like, yeah, so ideally we get one really good team. Like, you don't want too many easy teams overall in the group stage, but you also don't want like a total group of death. You just want like two good strong teams, like one very strong team like Liverpool, one strong team that would definitely test us like Inter, and then one easy team that you can generally expect to be a guaranteed 6 points. And then based on that, I'm gonna just have to say our ideal group would be something like Liverpool, Inter, and I don't know who else would be there, but
Yeah, the
something
qualifiers are
like that.
still going on, so nothing's confirmed yet.
What do you think about, like, we do agree that no matter who Bayern Munich gets in the groups, we expect ourselves to be in the round of 16. Like, we do agree on that, right? I don't want to make predictions, but like, I mean, if Nagelsmann does not make the round of 16, that would be the end. I think that would be the end for him. No matter how pretty the football is, you have to make the round of 16.
There's no argument. And the thing is, if we do end up with the group with Liverpool and Inter Milan, for example, then the minimum amount of points you need to top that group is not that much. I think Real Madrid finished top of their group with 10 points a couple seasons ago when they had Gladbach, Shakhtar in their group and Inter Milan. That group was like 10, 8, 6, and 3 or something like that. So if you have a tougher group, the minimum threshold is kind of lowered. So I honestly think either way, we should make it out. And if we don't, I don't know what to say because I've never seen Bayern get knocked out in the group stages. I've seen us play UEFA Cup, but that was because we were poor in the Bundesliga. So that's different.
Yeah, that's completely different. I personally have never seen us get knocked out in the group stage. The earliest I've ever seen us get knocked out was against Liverpool in the round of 16, where I was in the stadium for that game. But I digress. What about the rest of like the German teams? Because this is the first
Oh,
ever season
man.
where we have five German teams in
Five.
the Champions League, and I'll be honest, it's not looking good. It's
Oh,
really, it's
no,
really
it's
not
not.
looking. It's not looking good. I hope that Dortmund get an absolutely horrendously easy group like they did last season. But last season they had possibly they got knocked out. They went to the Europa League and then they got knocked
Yeah,
out of the Europa League
there
as well.
too,
Like,
Rangers.
come on, what was that? At least
That was funny.
Barcelona, when they went down to the Europa League, they got knocked out by Frankfurt, who
Who were the
generally
eventual winners?
they were the eventual winners and had a knack for like beating big teams, whereas Dortmund, they just surrendered to Rangers. It made no
Oh my
sense what happened
gosh.
to Dortmund last
This
season, and they look like they're gonna do that
Sporting
again.
Lisbon.
I'll be honest with you, like, they genuinely look like they're gonna do that again. I hope Dortmund don't get a tough team like Manchester City or something. That would be
Oh my
an absolute nightmare. I can
God.
see Manchester City destroying Dortmund 7-8-0. It would not be pretty, and it would just make those farmer leagues chants just worse, much worse. Like,
I
Leverkusen,
honestly
I think
think,
Leverkusen is doomed.
I think Leverkusen's done. But let me ask you this, then. If you had to pick a team from pot one for Dortmund, who would you pick?
Out of the teams from part one, so let me just scroll up again and see what part one is. I would pick AC Milan, honestly.
Me too. That would be a good draw. Like, not rough enough for them to get beat, like, I don't know, 7-8 nil. And where they stand a chance, but also not easy for them to say, oh, we're just going to
Yeah,
get past
they
them.
would. I think, yeah, because Dortmund, when they face a team that is a little bit too low on the level, they sometimes play to the level of
They
their
struggle.
opposition, you know? So they sometimes play worse than they can. So a team like AC Milan, in comparison, might prompt them to actually rise to the occasion and play well, which is something that you want. But on the flip side, they play intense Bundesliga football, which is something that AC Milan, as an Italian team who have very little European experience in recent years, they might be surprised by, which might play into Dortmund's hands. That would be ideal in comparison to a team like, for example, Porto, who are veterans of the Champions League, know exactly how to play against teams like Dortmund. are a team like Ajax who
Who also are in the Champions
beats
League pretty much every season.
every season, and
Yeah.
they completely
Destroyed
obliterated
Dortmund
Dortmund last
last year.
season.
Yeah.
My goodness. Yeah, and Manchester City, no, please no.
No, please.
Real Madrid, no, again.
No. They're slow starters, to be fair, but by the end, they'll destroy you four or five. So.
PSG would not be terrible for Dortmund, but would not be good either. I genuinely think
Yeah.
like PSG would just destroy Dortmund
At this
away from
stage,
home,
yeah.
and then maybe in front of the yellow wall, it might be a little bit of a closer game. Bayer Leverkusen is not done. They are completely done for
Forget
me.
it. I don't think we even need to discuss a group for them. I don't think. Yeah,
They might
they're
not
done.
even make it to the Europa League, to be honest. They might
Yeah, I
finish
don't
rock
think
bottom.
so. I think the yeah, I think they'll finish bottom of their group, which
RB
leave
Leipzig.
yeah, Leipzig, what do you think?
I think it's better for them if they finish third, honestly, because they need time to figure this thing
Yeah, it
out.
looks like
And
it.
if they get the time, they could win the Europa League. I don't know why they didn't win the Europa League last season, but like
That
if they
was
get time,
weird.
yeah, that was
Yeah.
weird. Yeah,
Rangers,
but
I think, again. Yeah.
was Rangers. In
Yeah,
any
it
case,
was
like
Rangers in the
RB
semifinal,
Leipzig, if they are in the Europa League, they would probably be one of the favorites alongside, I think, Arsenal to win it. So, yeah, some
yeah.
hidden Arsenal slander right there. But
Yeah.
the thing is that Arsenal fans are so badly beaten now, they don't even recognize that as slander anymore. So, what should I even say?
Happened so regularly.
Yeah, and
When Man United got beaten by Brentford, I felt bad because we got beat by Brentford last season.
It's just too much from these bad tech clubs. Eintracht Frankfurt, what do you think?
Ooh,
Do they have
that's
a do they have
a.
any hope?
I think they do. I actually think Frankfurt is going to do well against any team that takes
That
control
is,
of the ball
yeah,
and
I
plays
think.
possession football.
Yeah, so you'd want Frankfurt to get a team like, say, for example, I don't know,
Barcelona.
Chelsea, Barcelona. Those teams would really give Frankfurt the chance to just sucker punch them. Like, Frankfurt are really good at doing
Maybe
that to
even
big teams.
Juventus, because Villarreal hit them
Juventus,
in the break last year.
probably. And there's also the fact of the
Oh, Kostic, yes.
Kostic X effect. I would not want them to get
Face Kostic on the other side,
positive on the
maybe.
other side. But that would Frankfurt, if they get like a really tough group, I would probably back them to at least make third.
No,
But if they get
that's
an easy group, I can see them
weird. Probably
just
going out.
completely. Yeah, they completely collapse.
A good
Frankfurt are
draw for
so weird.
them. Yeah,
So
like
hopefully,
possession-based
like, yeah,
teams.
so like they are basically the anti-Dortmund. Like the
Yeah.
Frankfurt play to the level of their opposition in the sense that they usually rise to good opposition and then completely what should I even say that can't get this podcast marked as explicit, so they completely lower themselves against really bad opposition. So yeah, so I think that's our prediction for the Champions League group stage, where we think that Bayern Munich should make the round of 16 no matter who we get in the groups, and we
Oof.
want our preferred opponents are Liverpool so that we can hopefully see what this team is made of. Apart from that, we hope that Dortmund get an easy group and manage to make it through. We think that Leipzig might be good for Europa. Leverkusen are completely done for, and Frankfurt are kind of like dark horses. And
Potluck here.
most likely, we will have by the end of this, we will have maybe two Bundesliga teams around the 16. That would be a good thing for.
Honestly, the way that the season has started, two is a
Yeah,
good number.
two is a
Nobody
huge,
looks
that it
good.
would be amazing. It would be incredible for the team if two was the thing.
I would be more likely to bet on Union Berlin doing well in the Champions League right now than Dortmund.
Honestly, Union Berlin, I can see them, like, since they don't have depth, they are gonna like just be exhausted from playing the English weeks, and because of that, they are gonna
I
like
think they'll
I
be okay because of
honestly
last season.
I would say that Union, like, they are good enough to beat anyone on their day, including the best of the best, like Manchester City or Liverpool. But they don't have it in them to do it week in, week out. So if they manage to do it on the day, which is necessary in a cup competition, they might be able to do it. But otherwise, I don't see much success incoming for Bundesliga clubs in Europe, which is a shame because I think the league is genuinely a lot better than marketing
Then what
might make it out
happens?
to be.
Like Frankfurt is the best example of that. They finished what, like
Exactly.
L13th in the
Yeah,
league last
and
season?
what they did to Barcelona last season was utter humiliation, not just on the pitch, but taking over that stadium like the way they
Understands.
did, that is the kind of humiliation that stays with you, like as a club, as a club's culture, it stays with you.
Yeah, even in the semifinals against West Ham, I had like an English American commentary team on my end, and everybody was predicting West Ham would win, but that didn't happen. Frankfurt took that out within seconds.
Yeah, that was good. Okay, so I think that's enough for us today. I hope you enjoyed listening to me and Samron ramble on and on at yeah, about topics that may or may not make sense. Again, if you want to hear a more detailed recap of the game, there is Schnitzel who is doing the post-game podcast. Be sure to check that out. Sunday games are really tough on us because we need to record and post these back to back, and it's really something that we would prefer not to do, but we have to because of the schedule. So this was I Need No Name and Samrin on the Bavarian Podcast Works flagship show. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and check out our blog, BFW. And you can find us on pretty much any podcasting channel, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google, whatever. And pretty much that's all I have to say. So good night.
Take care. Have a good one.